Welcome to our worship service and happy Grandparents' Day. I don't know if anybody knew that. Happy Grandparents' Day. Welcome to any guests among us. If you're here with children, that is fantastic. There are kids' bins and Bibles available in the narthex at the back. A quiet room with rocking chair and toys also at the back, over to the side. And adult-supervised nursery for young children downstairs after the children's story. What a morning. There are so many announcements and events in the life of our church. Sunday school has restarted. Coffee and community in the narthex on Sunday mornings. I know, got my tea. Our church sanctuary looks different, and there's new, brighter lighting in all areas, so we can all see each other's gray hairs. It's great. This week, children and youth evening ministries begin. Also, quilting, the annual corn roast, and games night all this week. The Coffee Break Life Group begins on September 17th. The church choir and the praise and worship choir will be starting rehearsals. Feel free to come out and join us. The donation bins from the back left are now over in the old AV station. So if you want to drop your donations off, that's where you'll find them. For all activities, check your bulletin or the church website events page for dates and times. There are also multiple publications in the narthex, so help yourself. Please note that Irene Hyder is on vacation until September 11th and to contact Pastor Tim with any urgent matters. I'm just going to call Kurt up to say a few words.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to give a little bit of an update on where we're at from the visioning process. This is our kind of first formal time back in the sanctuary. You've probably noticed some changes already. I want to start actually by saying thank you to all the people who I won't list through your names, but you know who you are, who have contributed this summer. There's a lot of work happening. We are in here once a week redoing some of the sanctuary. You might not notice all the changes, but we actually went through the church and we were able to remove, I think it was almost 2 tons of things. Some old signs from, for example, Bazaar dating back 40, 50 years ago that were still in this church. So it was a really good effort. We were able to do a lot of cleanup. And some of the changes that you'll see have already been mentioned. New lighting throughout the church. You'll see the new TV screens that have already been mounted. Some of the changes at the back. I already see you if you're sitting at the back of the church. It feels more cozy again. Everyone's sitting a little bit closer together, and hopefully we'll hear that difference as we're singing this morning. We've also got the final choir pew back installed here at the front, so our choir loft is once again complete. There are some things that are still happening. So we are getting a quote to update where the hardwood is on the front stage. We found out they couldn't match it, but we're looking in the next month to have that wood flooring completed all the way across, now that you will notice the organ is gone. Other changes, we're still working with the vendor to come in, the electrician, to replace all the lighting within the sanctuary. So that work is still in progress. And we're thinking this should all be wrapped up now towards the end of October, which is when we will do the new website and the sort of relaunch of the church, probably in that time frame. So we had great ambition about the summer. We ran out a little bit of time, but still work in progress. I wanted to give you an update of just what was happening. The other thing is, now that we've switched to these TVs, a little bit of learning is in progress, so it would also be great to get some feedback. We've already noticed maybe a little bit of tweak to some of the wording for some of the songs and how we present it, but just as we're getting used to sort of the different size, and this is now a little bit longer, less square, and so to make the best use of that for our services. So if you do have comments, please let us know, and we can, we're learning a little bit as things have changed and just how to make the best use of this new setup. But again, thank you to everyone who made all of this possible and those that are still working to finish everything off.
Thank you. All right. Let us pray. Holy Father, thank you that you are with us in every transition and change. Students are back in schools, new grades, and some in new schools. Others are looking at lifestyle changes, new professions or positions, retirements, spiritual growth, and changes in health. Through it all, we rely on you, Lord. Keep fear of change at bay and help us to walk in your confidence in the coming week. We pray that you continue to guide us in the way you want us to go, and that we show and share your love with those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand if you're able for our first two songs, our first one being Build My Life.
Thank you. Well, good morning, friends. My name is Tim, and I serve as the pastor here. What we're going to do now is we have an opportunity to do a little bit of sharing. If you have any joys you'd like to share, or if there's any events coming up that need a bit of coloring in, or if you have any prayer requests, now's the time, and we have a microphone, so just raise your hand, and we'll bring that over to you. We do record the service and post it online afterwards, but the audio from that is usually only listened to by our members at home. So know if you share, it might go for some other people, but those people will just be praying for you. Thank you.
I just wanted to let everybody know the update on our daughter-in-law, Ashley. She was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive breast cancer. And she'll be having a mastectomy in 2 weeks. And then they said you can expect chemo and radiation. This is a type of cancer that shows up wherever it wants, whenever it wants. So she'll have to be monitored the rest of her life. So if you could keep their family in prayer, that would be greatly appreciated.
Right, thank you for the update.
So our next door, can you hear me? Our next door neighbor, Brad, has been fighting addiction for many, many years. Excuse me. He went into rehab for 4 months starting this Monday, and he needs all the help he can get. So any prayers would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Doug, what was his name again?
Brad.
Brad. Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? And then, as always, if you're uncomfortable sharing on microphone, you can always speak with me afterwards, or you can send an email to the church, and we would be happy to pray for you privately as well. Okay, well, let's pray together. I'll lead us, and then I'll invite you to do the Lord's Prayer. We will have a version of the Lord's Prayer up on the screen, but you're welcome to do whatever version means the most to your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are near. That you are not only in this place, but that you are in all of creation, and that wherever we go, there you are. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes so we can start to see the world as you see it. Give us open hearts and open hands to serve others, and guide our feet to those places where you are already at work, so we can participate in bringing your kingdom come and your will be done through our lives and by our prayers. Lord, we think of all of the people who are hurting today. In particular, Lord, we think of Ashley as she battles breast cancer. And Lord, we pray that you would be with her, that she would be aware that your Holy Spirit is right alongside her and that she is not alone in this. That you would guide the doctors in wisdom and discernment while they care for her. Prepare her, Lord, for this surgery. We pray that it would go well and that you'd be able to bring healing through all of these processes. And Lord, we also pray alongside Doug for his neighbor, Brad. Lord, have mercy. We pray that you would be with Brad, that your healing touch would be on Brad in this time, and that your peace would walk alongside him. As we think of all of the people throughout the world experiencing pain, loneliness, violence and warfare, poverty, the poverty of wealth, addiction, hopelessness, sickness, and so much, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Work through your people here and throughout the world as your church to bring about that new hope. Work in the hearts of leaders so that they may be peacemakers. Work in our hearts, in our neighborhoods, so that we might see that peace sprout up and that new kingdom come sprout up all around us. Lord, we recognize that everything we have belongs to you. Take what we have to offer and use it to advance your kingdom. Now, friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I didn't bring my bulletin up. It is kids' time next. Someone, we're going to do the song first. So kids, you can start to come up if you'd like as we do one of the songs from our vacation Bible camp. And you can help teach it to the rest of us. I don't want to come up right away.
Yeah, if there's any kids or campers or even volunteers that were at BBS this summer that know these actions and want to come on up, that would be great. We got it. Yes.
Okay. You guys are going to have to teach the rest of the church this song.
Okay, so if you can stand so that they can see you, that would be super helpful. They're going to need some help. Okay, it starts off with a little bit of a repeat after me. Do you guys remember? Okay, all right, let's give it a try. Let's give it a try.
Go. Are we good? Yes. Oh, that was awesome. Great job, everybody. Oh, remembering. Remembering is hard, right? Not for the young. I love it. Okay. Do we have all of our friends here now? I don't know if anybody else is coming to join us. We are in the Friesen house. We are just recovering, I'm going to say, from a very exciting celebration that we had yesterday. Aaron and Tommy's grandma and grandpa had their 60th wedding anniversary. Yeah, so exciting. So we had a little party for them at their church. And then afterwards, everybody came back to our house from our family for a big barbecue. And oh my goodness, it was amazing. But I will tell you, when everybody left, do you know what I needed to do? Oh, yeah. Mr. Friesen knows he was helping. And Stephanie knew it too. You bet. So what? I brought some stuff with me today. What would you use that for? I'll give you a hint by doing this. Will it work?
Vacuum.
Oh, it's a vacuum. You knew it. There it is. Yep, vacuuming. What would I vacuum?
The floor.
The floor. Crumbs, right? Yeah. Oh, dog hair, if we had a dog, yeah. But, like, there's stuff everywhere. Little bits of wrapping paper and crumbs from the cookies and all kinds of things. What about that?
Yeah?
What do you think, Mason? Dirt off the floor, like, by the front door where everybody put their shoes and things like that, right? Clean off the table. What a good idea. Come on over to my house. Excellent. Oh, here's a hard one. I was going to bring a bottle, But I didn't. I brought this instead. Do you recognize that? Ooh, what is it, Stephanie?
You put it in the dishwasher.
You do. It's a dish tab. I'll show it to our friends back there. There we go. And my, oh my, we have many dishes. There are still some that need to be in the dishwasher in the sink. Lots and lots of dirty. And so why would we need to put dishes in the dishwasher? What's the... That's right. And there's ketchup on the plates and barbecue sauce and leftover, right? Like all kinds of smeary stuff. And we want to use those dishes again, right? What about, this is a funny one. This might not be something you recognize. Do you know what that is? That's right. It's a duster. Yeah. And you can use this to like dust along where maybe there was some dust and things. And of course, just a good old fashioned cloth, right? What would you use that for, Mason? Cleaning and scrubbing the dishes, right? And the counter, I heard too. Yes, so good. So all those things, when our house gets dirty, when our things get dirty, when messes happen, we got to clean them up. So that reminds me of today's story from the Bible. So in this story, Jesus visits a temple. Does anybody know what a temple is? That's a fancy word. Have you ever heard that word before? I would say that it is kind of as close to a church building like we would have, but back in Bible times. So it would have been a place where people would have come to do the kinds of things we do in church. So what do you think they would do in a temple? Do you think they would come maybe for a service, like to hear someone speak about God? Yeah, right? And maybe to sing songs, maybe to pray, maybe to have a study or a time to meditate and learn about God's word. All those things would have happened in the Bible. So in this story, Jesus walked in and he was expecting to find that everything was in order and everything was going the way that it should at the temple. And he was shocked. Do you know what he found? It had turned into kind of like a flea market or like a marketplace or like a big, like a mall, like a shopping mall. Can you imagine? There were stalls set up and people were selling animals and they were trading coins with each other and they were doing all kinds of things in the temple that were not supposed to happen there. That's not the place where those things happen. And Jesus was so upset. Do you know what he did? Does anybody remember this story? Because I know it's one that always surprised. You've never heard it. I'm telling you, it was so shocking. He took the tables and he threw them. He tipped them over. He was that upset with these people for what they did. Yeah, and he drove the people out and said, this isn't what happens in God's house. And he cleaned that space from what was happening in there that was not good. That was not what God wanted to have in that space. You know, we clean our houses when things get dirty. Jesus cleaned the temple when it wasn't going the way it needed to go. And here's another thing we can do. We can be cleaning our hearts as well. Sometimes we might fall out of habits. Summer does that to us, right? And we might forget to pray, or we might forget to read our Bibles, or we might just be kind of out of the swing of things. And remembering that and making sure that we're doing those things is a way of doing a little bit of cleaning inside our own hearts and minds. So as a little remembering a time to remember what has been a few months away, we wanted to share a video with our friends out there in the congregation who did not get a chance to come and experience the joy of vacation Bible camp. Let's see if you can find yourselves in this video. Okay. For all the good things you do, thank God, you're my light and my truth.
To ride up to the shore, thank God. All the ones.
that was, did you see yourselves? Everybody? I did. I saw you. Awesome. You know what? We have so much to thank God for, so let's do that now. We'll bow our heads. God, thank you for stories from the Bible that remind us that we need to take time and kind of clean our own hearts and make sure that we're focusing on doing good things like praying and reading our Bible and praising you. And we also thank you for a wonderful time that we had at Vacation Bible Camp and the many wonderful things that will happen this year as well. Amen.
Good morning. I will be reading from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. It's on page 1511 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. It's titled, Jesus Clears the Temple Courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging limit. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong page. I didn't think that sentence made any sense. Okay. Sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me."
Learning to use this microphone again. Did I do it right? I did it okay? It's coming through? Okay, great. Let's see if the TVs work for me. Oh, I see. So you guys have the wrong slides. So you need to go to the slide that right now you have the PowerPoint slides, which have a big capital letter saying, do not use this one. Sorry. And you want to use the ones that says, use this one. It's very confusing. Sorry. Sorry, we're still figuring out how to get things on there. One was PowerPoint. One is through the Google Slides. It's right on the drive. It'll be almost exactly the same. Oh. We have a bug in the... How about now? Purpose. This is for a sermon illustration. Is this guy working at all? This one? Okay, yeah, okay. Well, while they do that, how's your summer? How's your first day of school? There's something about September. To me, September always feels like the real new year, right? Because we have so many years of going to school. And I remember I was talking to Ingrid Cron, who has retired from teaching. But what that means for her is that every single September through almost all of her life has always been the start of something new. And then this is the first September that's not. And how weird that must feel. We have people who are new teachers here, too. And so this will be the first time that they're teaching. Oh, you started teaching this year? Still haven't taken me to that bistro that we talked about a few weeks ago. And you know how different that must feel, now being the one who's teaching the kids. Were you able to find it on the drive, or are we still? If you just type in the date in the drive, we have a maybe there. Oh, yeah. I can't see it from this distance. I don't know. So the new TV is one thing we'll have to get used to. So I'm trying some new things with slides today. I've never made slides that fit a screen like this. If you type in the date, it should come up right away. So if you go 2024-09-08, crossed fingers that I did this correctly. Maybe it was me. Am I the problem? Oh, no. Just the service slides. Service slides, there. Use this. There you go. We don't know what that is? No, the bees. Oh, it's when I'm moving around? I'm bonking it too much. All right. I'll try and stay within. Hey! Good morning. When I put the video up, I'll just cut that other part out. It's magic what we can do. This morning we're talking about turning the tables. This passage where Jesus literally goes into the main area, the main church, the only church, the most holy place, and causes quite a stir. So a question for you, have you ever experienced church or maybe Christians in a way that hurt? Have you ever been hurt by a church or maybe by someone who says they're a Christian but acts very differently? There's something about churches and groups of people trying to worship that sometimes makes it easier for us to harm other people. Instead of being these places of wonder, these places where we can imagine the world and God being so much bigger, sometimes they just end up being these places of grumpiness, right? I'm sure all of us can think of at least one person who is grumpy at church all the time, right? There's something about it that does that. Even our tradition, this great tradition of we believe we should help other people, turn our other cheek and love others, this picture you see up there can quickly turn into, instead of helping others, we just kind of talk at them, right? We end up, instead of helping them, it's like, well, I have a Bible verse for you. Like, well, no food. I was hungry. I'm drowning. Don't read the Bible to me, like in that image there. So let me tell you a story, and this is true, and it's true enough that I actually got a picture of the real church in here. So this is what the church actually looks like. So when I was, I think about 7 years old, I was on a little baseball team. And we were playing at one field, and we get moved to another field. And you should know that on my team, we were a championship-caliber team, and I was not a championship-caliber teammate in that I was not good. But nonetheless, so we switched fields, and you know when you're little, how everything in the world just seems so big and foreign. So even though I wasn't that far from home, I had no idea where I was. And so after the game, something had happened. My parents had been gone, and my parents didn't know that we had changed fields. And this was in this magical, old-timey era where not everybody had a phone. So you had to go to a physical phone to phone someone else who was hopefully at a physical phone. And right by this baseball field, there was a church. Now, our coach at the time, I thought, was this woman who had her whole life together. She was probably a 15-year-old girl. But I didn't know that. She could have been anything to me. And so she didn't know what to do. She stuck with this little boy who's obviously very sad. I'm kind of crying. Where are my parents? And I see out near me that there's this church right across the field. And so I think, well, we can go there. Because I grew up in church. That's a place that can help me. That's a place where I could go and I could use a phone because we needed to find a physical phone. I didn't have a quarter on me. I was 7. So we go to this church and we ring the doorbell and I'm sitting there in my little baseball gear and I've clearly been crying and I'm sad. And this lady comes to the door and she says, "Yes, what is it?" And I say, "Could I please use your phone? I don't know where my parents are. I need to tell them where I am." And so she looks at me and says, "What do you think this place is? You think it's just free phone calls here? This is a church. Go away." And she shut the door. This is a true story. It's that church. I remember. Every time I drive by it, I was like, it was there. And Jen's always like, yeah, I know. The lady was mean to you. But she was working there. She was a secretary. They didn't want me to use their phone in case I called long distance 1 mile away, because we still talked about miles back in those days. instead of kilometers. And so we ended up having to go across the street, and there was a payphone there. We didn't have any money for that. And so someone at a convenience store let me use their phone. I was able to call. My parents were able to come and pick me up. But I remembered that because to me, I thought church would be this safe place, right? It makes sense. As a little one, this is a place of sanctuary, of refuge. But when I went there, instead, what I received was this very grumpy lady who didn't want to help me and only exasperated my pain and the situation there. There's something about church where we tend to put on airs. We put on these good faces when really deep down, if we could show who we are, there's a lot of other stuff, a lot of other emotions going on. So today, we look at this passage in John chapter 2 where Jesus enters into this place of worship. And he seemingly experiences it as this marketplace and other things. But what's really going on is the temple had become a place that was harming other people. It was taking advantage of other people, particularly those who had less. It would become a place of oppression, of hurt. So this is in the book of John. So we're going to go quickly through here. The Gospel of John is likely the last of the four Gospels written. This is John, who's lived the longest out of all of the disciples, and kind of he's saying, let me tell you my version of things. So John will read very different than some of the others. He even starts out with this great line that in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that the Word of God is Jesus, this very different language than we see in the other Gospels. And so Jesus enters the scene, he is baptized, he goes and he calls some disciples to start following him. As they're following him, the first major thing he does is he's at a wedding and he turns water to wine, and it says after he does that, then the disciples put their faith in him. They enjoyed that miracle. And then he goes to the temple and does this seemingly violent thing. Now, if you are very, very scholarly in your remembering of the Bible, you'll note that Jesus goes to the temple and clears out the temple in the other Gospels right before he goes to the cross, on the week he goes to the cross. So John has this right at the beginning. Now, the reason for this and the reason it will feel out of order is because the way we do history and storytelling, we think everything has to go exactly in order, right? But in the time of Jesus, and this wasn't just in the Bible, this is in all other histories that are going on, history and good storytelling meant that you rearranged things that happened in whatever order you wanted to tell the story the way you want to tell it. It's good storytelling. So to us, it seems a little bit weird. Ooh, it's out of place. But to them, that'd be like, oh, that's just how you tell a story. So John is now saying that in his story of Jesus, the first thing he does is he turns water to wine, and then he goes to the temple right away and does this. So this is foundational for how John sees Jesus' ministry. Whoop. There we are. Okay. I can't move to the side. Gotcha. Head forward. So this is the passage here. I'm trying something different. I'll have the words to the side. You can follow in your Bibles too, and I'll just have a picture here. So it says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You go up to Jerusalem. It's on a hill. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves. These are different things that you would buy and do offerings with. Doves would be the offering of those who were poor. We'll note that later. And others were sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all of them from the temple courts. Both the sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Okay, so a little bit of background, a little digging deeper to understand what's going on in this passage. First, this is happening at the Passover. So this is a very important festival, or the Seder meal. So people are coming from all over to Jerusalem. So the Jewish people spread through the world, spread through Israel, will go on this long journey, this pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, sometimes only once or twice in their lives. ideally once a year if they can afford to. They go back so they can go to the temple, because they would have synagogues, kind of like churches, in different areas, but a synagogue isn't the same thing as the temple. There is only one temple. The temple was the beating heart of the entire religion and worship. That is where you believed you were able to come into the presence of God. Now, the temple had these different layers. So if you were sick, if you were sick here today, you could get as close as the outside gates of Jerusalem. If you are a foreigner, you could get into the kind of that first little area, same for women. And then there'd be another layer on the way in, almost like the lobby of here, where the men could go. But then the worship area, the main area, was only for priests. And even then, only once or twice in their lifetime could they come into that main area. But this is the area you go to. This is where you would go. You would offer sacrifices. But inside the temple, we start to see it's become a bit of a tourist attraction. And a lot of this makes sense. You can't travel from a long distance and take these animals you're going to sacrifice with you. That doesn't make sense. And you're going to have different currency and stuff because you're coming from all over the world. So it'll make sense. We'll set up this currency. We'll set up these other things. You can come here and however much money you have, depending what areas you're able to go into, we've got a price for you, right? We've got a package that will meet your religious needs. So that's kind of what's starting to happen at the temple. These things that maybe you could say are logical outcomes of having to go to this place, this pilgrimage to worship, start to become this system where we see the people in charge are getting very wealthy. The religious leaders will be very wealthy. And people going there, I mean, especially that last line about the doves, he said, get those out of here. That's because if you're buying doves, you've made that long journey and you are poor. That is the acceptable sacrifice or offering you can give only if you're poor. It's the same sacrifice that will be given by Jesus' parents when they go to the temple in Luke to celebrate his birth. So the problem that we see Jesus addressing here, the trouble in this passage really comes down to religion, religious systems, religious practices, religious buildings, all becoming more important than the people who are trying to be reached, right? There's something about religion, these rules, these great things that we've done throughout our lives, great traditions even, where eventually traditions start to get in the way of the original purpose, experiencing God, coming into the presence of God, worshiping God. There's something about these rules or even traditions or the way things have always been that keeps people away. We want people who know how they're supposed to be. When they come here, they better act right. They better dress the right way. I remember being younger and someone being confronted coming to our church because they weren't wearing a suit and tie. How dare they? I mean, within a decade, the person who would confront them will come in jeans. Different times, right? There's something about religion that pushes people away, and then maybe they start to realize, well, I wouldn't belong there. I could never go to that church. I could never go to that temple. I'm not holy enough. They'll judge me if I go. And honestly, they're probably right. Church isn't always a place where you're just welcome. Sometimes you go there and there's a mean lady at the door who won't let you use the phone. And religion can start to turn us away from the purpose of it. If the purpose is for us to follow Jesus, if the purpose is for us to share that love with others in our words, in our actions, well then, sometimes the stuff we do as church ends up more about Sunday mornings, ends up more about meeting my own preferences, ends up making sure you don't change the things I like or you change other things to the things I like instead of setting us up to fill us with the love of God and send us out into the world. Faith starts to become something that keeps us at a distance from following Jesus. Just like in my story. That lady who was working at a church, I'm sure her neighbors thought well of her. Oh, we live right beside that nice church lady. But whatever reason, when I caught her at that time, that's not how I experienced her. And that's not how she experienced church. She thought of church as this building that needed to be protected. Don't let this dirty, crying kid in here. He's not wearing the right clothes. It's not the right time. This is not the right place. There's something about Christianity that becomes this religion that looks nothing like following Jesus, right? Christian and Christianity can mean just about anything these days. If it's music and it means Christian music, well, then it's only music by really beautiful people if you look at their pictures, right? Stuff like that. It's been watered down so much that it has very little to do with the Christ it's originally named after. But our hope remains in Jesus. Jesus, the one who enters into those places where oppression is literally happening, religious oppression, where the poor are being taken advantage of, where those who are true seekers are being taken advantage of while others get wealthy, and he flips those tables over. Jesus is one who we see with this fiery faith, this zeal, it says, this excitement, this passion for making sure that everyone has a place at the table, for making sure everyone is able to come into the presence of God and to know that they are loved. That same fiery faith he passes on to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not these rules and doing things always this certain way, but this passion to see other people experience that love. A faith that we're called to move beyond walls. God is far bigger than the temple in the time of Jesus. And God is far bigger than any buildings and any religious systems or even denominations we set up. Jesus calls us to follow him beyond those walls and to love other people, to be the church where we are. And Jesus will go on to say that he will go and he's going to rebuild this temple. He's going to tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days if you keep reading on in John. And people are confused about this. It took forever to build this temple. It was an impressive piece of architecture. But Jesus is talking about his body. That we don't have to go and worship in place. We are not stuck to place, but that all of creation belongs to God. That wherever we go, there Jesus is actively working to bring about new hope and new life. And we are invited to participate. We are invited to receive that inside of us and be a part of that solution. Moving beyond the walls, not just of a building, but the walls that sometimes we start to set up in our traditions and our religious ways. Now, religion and traditions can be good. They can help keep us on track. They can give us a pleasant rhythm to things. But only in so much as they help us follow Jesus. Only in so much as they help us embody the love of Jesus in our lives. So what does this mean for us today? What do we do with this? Well, I am reminded of the death of religion. That there's something about doing things in a religious, strict way that leads us to death and that gives death into our lives, right? It takes away that joy and that fire. And that is what Jesus goes and confronts. Religion that leads to death as opposed to this religious faith, this way of living, these traditions that lead us to this fiery, loving faith. That lead us, as we sang earlier today, to run out of the grave into this new life, this new day that Jesus gives us. That we're not stuck to some place in the past, but to this glorious new day that we have every day. The resurrection power of Jesus lived out through us. And maybe the most challenging thing is we're reminded that Jesus flips our tables. We like the idea of flipping other people's tables. Maybe as we talk about churches having their tables flipped, we can think of some mega churches or places where they're selling lots of stuff and making lots of money, and they have a wealthier pastor with nicer teeth than me, right? But the reality is, we're only called to flip the tables probably that give us the best seats. It's hard to want to flip those around. And even then, we have tables that keep people away and keep people at a distance. And Jesus is still the one who comes into our lives and says, are you ready for me to flip it? And sometimes he'll flip it before we're ready. Because we're not called to religious practices. We're not called to be a Sunday morning people. We are called to a Jesus-centered faith, where Jesus is at the center of everything we do and who we are. Where that love and that joy of the Spirit changes us in such a way that our neighbors experience that as love. Our neighbors get to experience that as hope, as new life. Friends, may your table be turned over by Jesus. May you experience that new life that comes from the freedom of no longer being held back by anything that gets in the way of his love. And may your neighbors experience that new joy and new life as you go and love them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are in the small things, that you are in the big things, that you are in our traditions and our practices, but Lord, that you are also in the new day, the new life, the beyond these walls faith. Lord, we pray that each person here would experience your love in such a way that it spills out of them the rest of this week, so that each person they meet gets to experience that love in real ways. Bless us so we may be a blessing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We invite you to stand for our final song, if you're able, How Great Thou Art.
Take away my
You may be seated. I'll do the blessing in just one moment. As we get used to change, I forgot that we planned to do a question and answer period after my message. I got so stuck in my religious rhythm that I was. So we actually have a microphone ready. If you have any questions about the passage we looked at today or today's message, raise your hand and we have a microphone that can come and find you. We can take a few questions still if you have any. Unless I was super clear. Oh, wow. The band can ask as well, even though you have microphones, just so you know. Except you, Tommy. No drummers.
Sorry, I just have a question about the animals and stuff. Is there like a hierarchy of, you could afford only the dove if you were poor, but if you were, say, wealthy and didn't want to spend the money, you could do a dove, but would that be detrimental to your beliefs? Or, like, I'm not saying...
Yeah, so you're talking about in the sacrificial system as they had it. So if you read that passage, it'll be a little... keynote letter there, and it'll list you back to the Old Testament laws where it's connecting that. So you can read that longer if you want. What I would say is, at that time, if you had money, you wouldn't cheap out on this because you want to show everybody that you have it, right? So even then, that's part of the system that's going on. When you go there and you're offering your sacrifice, you're seeing who's got it and who doesn't. Somewhat, yeah. Just like now, it's there's show to the whole thing. So, and in some of that show would also be part of their own, true faith on that too. Like, you, this expectation, God has blessed me with so much, let me show how much I've been blessed, and I'll do this, and then I'll walk past the poor people asking for money because I spent all my money doing this other thing instead, sort of thing, right? Or we keep it. So I would say that, probably not. You probably don't cheap out on that. Just like nobody cheaps out on their way out of here. They drop the largest check they possibly can in the box, right? No pressure to do that. My kids need to eat. No, I'm just kidding. That's the other thing we see kind of in this system, right? Like, if I asked everyone here to share with their neighbor beside them how much money they make and how much you spend a year on vacation, that's uncomfortable. We don't want to do that, right? I don't want to do that. Except you all know how much money I make because it's published. But there's something about our wealth, even in worship and other bits, that keeps us separate from each other. And I think you and I have talked before about, like, even as we talk about some of those systems, those tithing systems, giving 10%. Giving 10% isn't biblical. It's a system that we go to because it makes some sense. It's a good starting point. But if you do not have enough to get by, please do not give. And let us know, and we will help you. And if you have plenty more, and you have abundance, then 10% maybe isn't enough from what you're giving away. Maybe God's calling you to give away more, right? So that's kind of how those systems work, if that makes sense. All right, well, I will invite you to stand as you're able. Thank you for the question. If you have any other questions, particularly very specific ones that you think are weird, those are the best ones, and I'm happy to take those after. I receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you, and may the love of Jesus fill your heart. Go in God's peace. Amen.